Very welcome if you're visiting with us for the first time. We warmly welcome you in the name of the Lord. You're very welcome. I pray that the Lord blesses you here. We want to have one heart and just seek the Lord. You know, I wouldn't cross the road to go to church or to be caught up in religion. I want to go where Jesus is real. He saves lives. He can deliver drug addicts, alcoholics, the immoral, those who use statues in their worship. I believe in such a Jesus. I believe in a Jesus who heals sick bodies. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I believe in a Jesus who speaks from heaven on high. I believe he guides you. He can reveal the future. I believe in a real God who is in heaven. And you know what? That's who I gather onto. I would travel a long distance to meet with the real Jesus. Please turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we've been dealing on these Sunday mornings with a man under authority. A man under authority. And we've dealt with many women in the Bible before. And ladies, we're not excluding you. You're included in this. We're just dealing with a few obscure men in the Bible who usually aren't taken notice of or aren't spoken of or aren't thought of or remembered. And we've already dealt with Joseph, the husband of Mary. We dealt with the centurion who came to Jesus to have his servant healed. And last week we dealt with Ananias in Acts chapter 9. But here this morning I want to deal with Acts chapter 1 and another man under authority. And this is for all of us. We are to be men and women under authority. That's the real church. If you show me a church where it's filled with rebellion, everybody does what's right in their own eyes, I assure you that's rebellion against God. They're not men or women under authority. Where you find a real church, I mean a real church of disciples, you will find the individuals are men and women who are actually under the authority of Jesus Christ. Let's read from Acts chapter 1. My message this morning, listen to this title here this morning, because we have chosen unusual messages on these Sunday mornings. My message is qualified, but not chosen. Qualified, but not chosen. Acts chapter 1, reading from verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took justice, that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, and he sure does, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let's pray here this morning. Father, I thank you for the Word of God, the strange mysteries that we read within the Bible. We believe this book is inspired of the Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit gave us the written Word of God. It's a prophetic Word that speaks into our lives this morning. You know every man, every woman. You know their past. You know their future. You know every thought. You know every imagination of their heart. And my God, you do make the Word of God to be applicable, to be prophetic. You make it to reveal the very hidden things of the heart. And Father, I especially ask you, even this morning, let the Holy Spirit overshadow us. My God, I'm asking that you be the searcher of every heart. You do know every heart. You do search it. You do prove it. You do test it. And you speak to the hearts. Will you reveal yourself in this message this morning? My God, I can only speak to the ear, but you speak to the heart. I can only speak with my mouth, but my God, you speak from your throne on high. And Lord God, we ask of you, let us be men and women under authority. Lord God, reveal the truth of your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My message this morning, qualified but not chosen. A strange title, because we think that a qualified person will be a chosen person. That if you qualify, if you fulfill all the requirements, if you do everything necessary, then you will be a chosen vessel, or you will be chosen for a certain task. But the scriptures I've just read to you there, and my message this morning, qualified but not chosen. This chapter we've read, and the man I'm going to bring to you this morning was a qualified man. He was absolutely qualified, but God did not choose him. You can be qualified and God won't choose you. But the sad fact is, it is possible to be chosen and yet not qualified. And I'll explain what I mean. The man I want to deal with this morning, we read of him in this chapter. His name is Joseph, called Barsabbas, but surnamed Justice. I'm going to call him Joseph Justice. His name is Joseph Justice. And I believe he is an ignored man, a forgotten about man, a man that not many of us think about. And when we read Acts chapter 1, we don't even notice him here in the Bible. And yet I want to tell you, I believe this man, Joseph Justice, is a remarkable man. I believe he's an unusual man. And most importantly, Joseph Justice was a man under authority. By the revealing of these scriptures, although it says very little about him, we're actually going to find that he was a qualified man under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that makes him to stand out. In Acts chapter 1, what we read in this chapter is that there's 120 disciples gathered in an upper room for a period of 10 days. The risen Jesus has just been with them. He'd done many miracles that they could not doubt. He'd done such remarkable miracles to persuade their heart that it was him. It wasn't a mirage. It wasn't imagination. He had risen physically from the dead. He was in a new physical body. He was the Son of God, and he was God manifest in the flesh. What we read of in this chapter is that when Jesus ascended to heaven, above 500 eyewitnesses saw him. About 500 people were there. They literally saw him. They heard him. And they watched him ascend to heaven. Over 500 eyewitnesses. I want to tell you, the Bible is a historical book. It is an accurate book. And it is an authoritative book. What Jesus done then, he still does today. But notice what happened when Jesus ascended to heaven. We read that 120 disciples gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem for a period of 10 days. For 10 days they're locked in this room. I believe they did leave and come. I believe they went and done their duties and come back there. But for 10 days, morning, day and night, they're in that room praying unto the Lord. But look in verse 16. There's only one other event happens during these 10 days. We read that Peter stands up in the midst of the 120 disciples. And please notice with me, they're called disciples. What we said last week, they are discipled ones. What is a disciple? It is a disciplined one. It is an individual who has been disciplined by God or trained by God. Show me someone who has no discipline in their life, who doesn't obey the word of God. They're not a disciple. They may say, I'm a Christian. They may say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I follow Jesus. But can I ask you here this morning, have you been disciplined by Jesus? Has he trained you? You know, we've got a wee puppy just at Christmas time, and I'm going to use this puppy many times over these weeks like I have in the past 2 weeks. I assure you, it needs discipline. Jackie knows well enough about this with her many puppies. You are going to have to bring discipline to bear upon those little puppies. I can assure you, it'll be a rebel in that house. It'll eat everything. It'll poo everywhere. I tell you, that home will be a confusion without discipline. And so you've got to discipline that little puppy. The house of God is the same. Show me an individual who has not been disciplined, has not been trained, has not been taught by God, and you'll have confusion. But look at the upper room. It says there was 120 disciples. They're actually trained ones. Now notice this. There were 500 who seen Christ ascend. There were many thousands who had experienced miracles. Many thousands had been fed miraculously. Many thousands had heard his teaching. But only 500 watched him ascend. And now here in the upper room, where are the thousands? Where are all those who saw the miracles? Where are all those who said he answered my prayer? Where are all those who he loved and who he provided bread for when they were tired? Who are all those, or where are those who said, they sat in the meetings and said, amen, I believe it. Do you know what it came down to? 120 disciples in the upper room. Do you realize the only ones who are still going to be there at the end of the day are those who have been disciplined or trained by Jesus Christ? If you don't allow Jesus to train you, you'll blow in with the wind and you'll blow out with the wind. The devil will take you hither and thither wherever soever the wind blows. But a real disciple has been trained by Jesus Christ. And with that little puppy, Candace is trying very hard to get her to the point, when I say stay, you stay. When I say come, you come. And that's a lot of work with a little puppy. But I assure you, it's a harder job, Christ working on the life of a Christian. All of his working is to get you to the place when he says, stay where you are, don't move. You say, yes, sir. When he says, come immediately, and you say, I'm here, what do you want me to do? That takes training. Because saints, even when we get saved and meet Jesus, there's an awful lot in this life that needs dealt with by the hand of Jesus Christ. Look at Peter in verse 16. It says, he stands up and he says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. You see, Judas had betrayed Jesus. We know the story. He'd actually gone out and committed suicide. Now there's only 11 disciples or apostles in this gathering. There's 120 disciples. There are 11 apostles of Jesus Christ. But Judas has killed himself. And I'm telling you, that can confuse young Christians. Here was an apostle. Here was a man commissioned by Jesus, chosen by Jesus to be an apostle. Do you know Jesus sent Judas out to preach and to cast demons out and to heal the sick? Do you realize that Judas came away from his own life and his own home, and he ministered with Jesus Christ? Everywhere where you sing Jesus, there was Judas. He was in all of the meetings through those years. And yet here's a point where Judas has just committed suicide. Saints, think of that first early church. Can you imagine being a member? Can you imagine being a young Christian who loves Jesus? And you go, I knew Judas. He didn't seem a wicked man. He seemed a good man. I mean, he went praying for the sick. He wanted to help the poor. He was always talking about the poor. He's always there trying to help the master. In fact, he kept the money bag to finance everything that Jesus done on his mission trips. I mean, this guy was always wanting to raise money to help finance Jesus Christ. Always. And can you imagine the young believer saying, but how could Judas fall? How can it be? Can you imagine the confusion? I'm saying he committed suicide. He went from being an apostle to dying and going to hell. Here's a man who went out and committed suicide, took his own life. Can you imagine the confusion of going, how can it be? Saints, I want to minister on this morning, because look at Peter. He stands up in the middle of them. And he says, men and brethren, he's got an answer. Guess where he got it? In the Bible. The answer was in the Bible. And he said, this scripture must needs be fulfilled. What scripture? That one of those I choose will fall from his calling and go out and kill himself. This scripture must be fulfilled. Somebody is going to betray me. It had to be fulfilled in the Bible. We actually read there that the Holy Spirit spoke by King David almost 1,000 years before. And he actually said that one was going to do what Judas actually did. It was predicted, it was prophesied that the Messiah would have a very close friend betray him. And that having done everything for this friend would lift up his heel against the Messiah. That they went up to the house of God rejoicing together. And yet this man was going to betray Jesus. Somebody had to do it. And what Judas does, or what Peter does, he stands up and he said, brethren, don't fear. Friends, don't be shook in your faith. Don't think that the devil won a victory. He didn't. He didn't. The scriptures had to be fulfilled. And you realize in that day in the upper room, Peter was saying, do you know what? It's not a shocking thing. Don't think we're taken off guard by it, because the Bible predicts that this very thing was going to happen. You see, there's nothing new that happens in the church. Everything that happens in this city in the church, I can find it in the Bible. I can find an example. Nothing you can tell me. Don't be shocked with what you see go on amongst Christians or in churches or amongst preachers. I assure you, there's nothing new under the face of the sun. Absolutely not. Do not be surprised. But these 120 disciples were a church under authority. And the first sermon they ever hear is a sermon on the fallen away, the tragic death of Judas. The very first sermon that they hear. Saints, I want to preach to you this morning on Joseph Justice. And I have 4 points I want to give you here this morning as we deal with qualified but not chosen. Qualified but not chosen. The first point, my first point is the 12 apostles. Jesus only chose 12 apostles of the Lamb. They never increase. There's no other apostles of the Lamb. There can only be 12 apostles. Now I do believe they're still apostles, but they are called resurrection apostles. In other words, they're only chosen after Christ is raised from the dead. These 12 men were chosen before the resurrection. There are still apostles in the church, and they will be until Jesus returns. They're still pastors, they're still prophets, they're still teachers, they're still evangelists. Now, all of these ministries are still in the church. Now, I believe in prophets, yes, I do. I've met them, I've known them, and they're not big ministry men, they're men in the local church. I believe in these ministries. But the 12 apostles of the Lamb, they can never be any more. Once those 12 men died, there were no more apostles of the Lamb. They were unique men. They were chosen for a specific task. To preach the gospel, cast out demons, to heal the sick. These 12 men were going to write the scriptures and lay doctrine into the first church. For the first 6 years they stayed in one church. People talk about what a church is to look at. Like, look at the first church. It had 12 apostles preaching in it for the first 6 years. No pastor, no elders. There were only 12 apostles in that first church, and they taught doctrine. So these men were very unique. They had a unique task, and they were a unique number. And they actually laid the foundation, which was Jesus, in that first church. Now hear me, there were only 12 apostles, but one of them committed suicide. Judas fell from that position. He was an apostle. He had a unique call that is remarkable. Judas had an amazing privilege. And you know what? In this city, God can give an amazing privilege to an individual, and they can despise it, and they can reject it, and they can run from God, and they can destroy what God gives to them, like Judas. You see, in the upper room, there was only 11 apostles, but God had chosen 12. And Peter actually, in reading the scriptures, he said, here's the answer. Someone has to take his place. Someone has to replace. Where did he get the answer? In the Bible. The Holy Spirit spoke to him from the Bible. And he said, look, this is speaking about our situation and the death of Judas. Here it is in the Bible. And the Bible says, let another man take his place. And Peter says, somebody amongst our gathering has to take Judas's place. Someone has to replace him and become the 12th apostle of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Joseph Justice in that gathering and many others saying, could it be me? Can you imagine being there and saying, there's going to be a man chosen in our midst to be the 12th apostle? Yeah. Do you know what Jesus had taught about the 12 apostles? In Matthew 19, he says that when I come on my throne of judgment, he is coming again. He isn't just sending something. He isn't going to do something. Jesus is coming again. And he says, when I come on my throne of judgment. Do you know when Jesus appears again in the flesh, he's coming in judgment. He won't show love. He won't show mercy. He's not coming to forgive anyone. He is coming to bring judgment on the earth. And I assure you, one of these days, he is going to appear from heaven. And with judgment and with wrath, he's going to judge Limerick. He's going to judge the nations of the earth. But the Bible says, and what Jesus taught the apostles, he says, when I come, you 12 shall also sit on thrones of judgment. And when I come, you are going to be sitting thrones of judgment, and you'll judge the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. You 12 apostles, on the day of judgment, I am going to give you thrones, and you are going to judge the nation of Israel. That little nation, you apostles, Israel rejected the gospel, you 12 men are going to judge it. As they stood there in that gathering, Judas Justice is going, if I was chosen as that an apostle, I am going to be given the task of judging all of Israel. They can reject us today, but there's a day coming when we're going to come back and judge the very nations of the world. Jesus also said in Revelation 21 and 14, he says concerning the 12 apostles, he says that when the city of God, you know, in the last days, there's going to be the city of God. Zion, the church of God, is going to be revealed in the midst of all the nations. And it actually says that that city will have 12 foundations. And on each of the foundations is a name written of one of the apostles. So look at this. These 12 apostles have a unique calling on the city of God that's going to be the center of the entire world. God's city on the earth. It's going to have 12 foundations, and a man's name, a man who was called of God, is going to have his name written upon that foundation. Now we read when the 120 were there, they chose two men. They actually made two men to stand up. One of them was called Matthias, and the other one was called Joseph Justice. And Peter and all the 120 that said, one of these men is going to be the 12th apostle. Judas lost out. Judas blew it. Judas rejected it. Judas could have had his name on one of those foundations. Judas could have been one of the men judging the whole entire nation of Israel throughout all of history and every generation, from those early days right down to our own day. He could have been there. Judas could have been sitting on a throne judging. What a remarkable thing.
Yeah.
And as Matthias and Joseph stood, they know one of the two of us is going to have our name inscribed on the foundation of the city of God. My first point, the 12 apostles. There had to be a 12th apostle. And there'd be no more. As they died, they didn't add any more. God just raised up other apostles. But these 12 were unique. There's not going to be 13 foundations. Only 12. My second point, the qualifications. The qualifications. Look at verse 23. It says, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Now look at this man, Joseph, because I believe Joseph was qualified. What's my message? Qualified but not chosen. You're absolutely qualified, and yet you don't get chosen. You know where I'm going. Because one of these two men isn't going to get chosen, but both are qualified. Both of them absolutely are qualified. You see, Joseph didn't get chosen. Matthias got chosen. God chose Matthias, but God didn't choose Joseph Justus. God didn't choose him. Can you imagine? God decided and said, Joseph, you won't be the 12th apostle. You got so close, but I'm not choosing you. You won't have your name on the foundation. You aren't going to judge the nation of Israel. And yet he was a qualified man. Look at his name here for a moment. Joseph called Barsabbas. The name Barsabbas means to do the pleasure of someone, to please them or to do their will. That's a man under authority. If you do the pleasure of God, if you obey the will of God, you're a man under authority. The name Joseph means to be added. And we know there's Joseph in the Old Testament and Joseph in the New Testament. And the name actually means to be added to what is there. Can you imagine this man? He always had the name Joseph. And he goes, here is the selection of my life. There's only two of us, and one of us is going to become the apostle of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1. And his name means added. Wonder if his hopes got up. You know, maybe there's something in my name. Maybe my name was prophetic. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't. Be careful how you judge things.
Right.
But Barsabbas means to do the pleasure of someone else. And notice it said, whose surname was Justus. See, in the Bible, when it says a surname, it means a nickname. And why do you give a nickname? Do you know when you're at school, you call someone Big Ears? Why did you call them Big Ears? They had big ears. Call them nosy, they're a nosy person. You know, there's all of those names that you had. And I'm sure some of you in this room had names, or if you're families, you had names for each other. I'm sure Jackie and Mary, they called each other many's the name. They try to find something about the other and nickname them. Well, that's what surname means. Now look at this man, Justus. What does Justus mean? It means justice. Do you hear that? It's spelled differently, but it means to be just or to be righteous or to have a sense of justice. Now notice this man. He had a sense of justice. What was right? What was wrong? And do you know the 120 disciples that said, we have nicknamed him Justice, the just one, the one who can't stand what is wrong. He is so just. He says, what is right? Now this reveals something of his character. Everyone who knew Joseph called him Justus. So he became known as Joseph Justus. But notice as well in verse 21. I'm talking about qualification. You've got to be qualified for ministry. It says in verse 21. Wherefore of these men, or which one of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us. Notice another quality here. Said, who, we need to choose a man. We need to find a man in the midst. But he can only become an apostle or be chosen or qualified if he is accompanied with us all of the time since the ministry of John the Baptist. From John the Baptist began to preach until the end of Christ's ministry. Now notice that word company, underline it. The word company with us means to come together, to regularly gather in the same meetings. Yeah. It means to assemble together faithfully. Yeah. And what Peter actually said, he said, brethren, brothers, you search out amongst yourself. We need to find a man here who has always been in the gatherings, always been in the meetings, who's been faithful in the gatherings. You know what? I'd never choose someone as a deacon who isn't faithful in the house of God. I would never let someone preach in a church if they're not faithful in their prayer meeting. No way. There's no chance. Because you've got to be qualified. And here the early church had said, hey, we don't want anyone in ministry who isn't in the meetings. If you can't even be faithful at church, why would we give you a ministry of apostle to tell everyone else what to do? Do you know, if you stood up here, if I see you once every 6 months and you come into the meeting and say, I've got a prophecy from the Lord. And I want to minister unto you. And I've got a vision. Do you know what I'd say? I'll speak to you later.
Yeah.
But you're not giving it in this gathering.
Yeah.
Do you know why? And here I know there's circumstance in life. I'm not ignorant. Candace missed a full month. It was a practical situation. She's gone. Wish she was here. She can't make it to the meetings. So we're not being silly. But saints, I'm telling you, one of the qualities the early church looked for, show me someone who has been on all the meetings faithfully under the word of God. They've been in the prayer meeting. If you don't think prayer is important, why would I let you speak to my life? If you're not at the Bible study, why would I let you teach anyone else? If you're not faithful in fellowship, why would I let you prophesy into people's lives in this church? Why would I hold you up as an example when you're not an example? Oh, I've got lots of knowledge. I don't care. Are you submitted? You see, this is an issue of being a man under authority. Joseph Justice was a man under authority. You know what? He was faithfully in the preaching. He was faithfully at the prayer meeting. He was in the house of God. He was regular. He had a good testimony. That is a man under authority. Some people only go to church when they're in a crisis, or they only come when they think they have a prophecy to give to others. That is a terrible reproach, and it reveals their heart. Saints, I tell you, the people who are most greatly used of God across the world were faithfully in the church.
That's right.
Faithful every week. They were there consistently, and that's why God chose them. God will never choose a lazy person or someone who justifies or excuses himself. Joseph Justice was a man under authority. He did not neglect the fellowship. What does the Bible say? Not forsaken the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Do you know 2,000 years ago some had a tradition in the church? We don't regularly gather.
Yes.
It was a tradition. It was their custom. Oh, the Spirit led me. Did he now? Okay. Oh, the Holy Spirit told me I don't need to. Really? I've had people come in the door and they say, oh, the Holy Spirit tells me to go wherever he leads me to. All right, okay. So we'll throw the Bible out.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit obviously got it wrong and he's changed his mind. Well, we need to learn who the Holy Spirit is again. I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of the Bible. I'm talking about being qualified. Don't tell me a man is qualified for ministry, for children's work, for deaconship, for evangelism, if they're not faithful in the house of God. I don't care if you can go to Jerusalem and preach in the streets. I don't care if you can work miracles on the high street of Limerick. What does it matter if you're not faithful in the house of God? It actually reveals you're not a man or woman under authority. You don't respect God's word. You're someone who on Sunday can be shouting hallelujah, Monday morning you're depressed and you want to die. I tell you, that is not a consistent Christian whatsoever. But notice further, not only a man who accompanied faithfully, but he is also a witness of the resurrection. The word witness means to be a martyr, or somebody who tells the truth, or somebody who tells exactly what they've experienced. You see, Joseph was such a man. He was a witness of the truth. He saw Jesus risen from the dead. He wasn't preaching theories or thoughts. Jesus was real to him. Jesus was almighty. He had seen such a vision of Christ raised from the dead. He says, I'll follow you. I'll speak your truth even if it means my death. The word witness means martus, martyr. It's someone who lays their life down. If you're not willing to lay down your life for the Bible, for the truth, you ought to question where you're at. Yes. You really ought to. You know what? I so believe this. I'd give my all for it. I don't care what happens to me. Nothing's going to move me away from the person of Jesus Christ. But notice as well, it talks about here in verse 25, this ministry of Judas. He had a ministry. He was an apostle, and in verse 20, it says he had a bishopric, or the office of a bishop. Now notice that, he had a ministry, that's the word, diaconia, which means a deacon. He served the church. He was a servant. It was a ministry to everyone. You know what deacons are? They're given a practical job in the church. Then there's apostles, they are sent ones to raise up the church. But third of all, in verse 20, he was called a bishop. What is a bishop? It's not a man with a funny hat. They draw pictures of St. Patrick with his big bishop's hat. He never had one. There was no such thing. That came hundreds of years later. What is a bishop? The word bishop means an overseer. It's the term given to a shepherd. He looks after lots of sheep. He actually looks after them. He watches them. He cares for them. You know, some people in the church say, no one should be looking at my life. Why not?
That's right.
I tell you, leaders are raised up to look over your life,
right,
to warn you, care for you, protect you,
right,
to encourage you,
amen,
or to rebuke you. They are given. And notice that actually Judas was called a bishop, or had a bishopric. He actually had that. It was a position later in the church where elders or presbyters or bishops are raised up in the church to look after the church. I am a bishop and I don't wear a funny hat. I'm to look after this church. I am an elder. I am a presbyter. I am a preacher. I am a shepherd. I'm all of those things in one man. It's a ministry where I'm to look after the church of God. I am a bishop, and it means to oversee, not to have a funny hat, I can assure you. But what's important is later in the Bible, in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus chapter 1, we are given the qualifications of a bishop. 22 qualifications of a church leader. 22 qualifications. Do you know you can't be a church elder unless you're qualified? You have got to fulfill 22 qualifications. And the Bible actually says only one of them is the ability to teach. One is the ability to teach. 21 are about your character, how you speak, what your family's like. A bishop, his wife, his family. Hold on, but bishops don't marry. Yes, they do. In the Bible, they married. All bishops were married in the Bible. And the Bible says to be a qualified bishop, you've got to have your home in order. You've got to have your children in order. There were 22 qualifications. And we've mentioned this many times. In other words, in the early church, all ministry had to be qualified. How they spoke, how they acted, how they lived, they had to be consistent. And you couldn't get anywhere. You weren't chosen for anything in the early church unless you were qualified. What does it actually mean to be qualified? It means those qualities in a person's life which make them fit or suitable or eligible for leadership. If you don't qualify, you weren't chosen for anything in the church. They wouldn't let you on the high street in evangelism. They wouldn't let you minister in the church unless you were actually qualified. But this is specifically for elders. You don't need to be qualified with these 22 things to be in a church, or to be a member of church, or to take the Lord's table, or to be in the worship, or to pray in the prayer meeting. You don't need to be qualified. You need to be born again for that. You need to be saved by God's grace. But listen, one important verse, and this affects all of us in this room. Remember, Joseph Justice knew these things. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 1, If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Hear that again. Twice the word desire is used. If any man in the church or any woman desire the office of a bishop, they desire a good work. Now listen to this. What does the word desire mean? Because Paul is writing, he's saying to the entire church, and I'm saying to you, every person in this church, if you desire to be a bishop, to have the office of a bishop, to have the ministry of a bishop, if you desire this, it's a good work. If you desire it, what does desire mean? It means to stretch out with all of your strength, to strain yourself, to give great energy, to reach out after this ministry of a bishop. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying for every one of you in this church, if you stretch after the ministry of a bishop, you do a good work. I don't care who you are, man or woman, young or old, saved young or saved old. Brother Keith, that might create pride. Yes, it could if you don't understand it. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Very important. The Bible says we're all to stretch after this office of a bishop. And they ought to be stretching after it. It would be a good thing if she spends the rest of her life stretching after this office of a bishop. What does it mean? What is Paul actually saying? Remember when he says this, then he gives 22 qualifications of a bishop, and 21 of them are about your life, how you speak, how you act, how you abstain from wine, how you don't get angry very quickly. You're not self-willed. All of these things are there. And do you know what he's saying? He's not saying you stretch after a ministry, or you stretch after a calling, or a title, or a position, or to preach in the pulpit. You don't. You stretch after being qualified in your life. This is not a desire for ministry. It's a desire for character. It would be a good thing, a good work, if everybody in this church says, I want to be qualified as a deacon, as an elder, as a bishop. I want to be qualified. Saints, that's for all of you. You may never be a bishop or a preacher, but I'm saying we can all be qualified. You may not be chosen like Justice, but you can be qualified. You can be there saying, I fulfill all the qualities. I'm faithful in the house of God. I'm a witness that Jesus is risen from the dead. I qualify as a bishop. If I was to be chosen as a bishop or I could preach, I would be qualified. But I'm seeking to make sure my character is such that I could be qualified. This is the early church. Don't tell me that the spiritual people are in ministry and all the ones who aren't as spiritual. That wasn't in the Bible. Do you realize everyone in this church could be as spiritual or more spiritual than me? But you may not be chosen to lead or preach. This church could be filled by people who excel me in their love and in their faith and in their spirituality and in their prayer life, and yet you're not chosen for this task. But saints, what a church. Do you hear me? That we are all qualified. And saints, we may not all be there. We may not all attain, but it's the fact that we're all stretching after it together. That we're all saying, let us all seek to be qualified. My third point here is the contrast in these verses. There is a contrast between Joseph Justice and between Judas. These two men are contrasted. What's a contrast? You put black and white together, there's a contrast. You put some of your accents here with a nice posh English accent, you're going to get a bit of a contrast in the English language. You're going to see the breadth of it, the depth of it. I've already warned Manu and Christine. I said, I'm going to tell these bunch to slow down their talking. So, I mean, they understand some English, but they may not understand your English here. You're going to have to go slow and pronounce your words correctly, and just to help them, they've got German ears, but they do understand some German. Saints, there is a contrast in these verses between Judas. Judas was chosen but not qualified. Wow. Joseph was qualified but not chosen. Oh, but God always chooses spiritual people, does he? God always chooses those who are qualified, does he? God would never choose a man or put a man in ministry who in the end proved not to be qualified. Really? What about King Saul? God chose him to be king of Israel. He was humble for 2 years, then for 38 years, he's the king of Israel, the anointed of God. He's a proud, arrogant, rebellious man. 38 years. Do you not think God knew that when he chose him? You know, people in the church that go, if he's in ministry or he's got a fire, he's out telling people about Jesus, his heart must be right. Really?
No.
Really? You could be chosen in ministry. You could be in ministry. You could be doing a very good job in ministry. But you're not qualified to write in your heart.
Yeah.
Judas wasn't. He was called, chosen, gifted in ministry. He was sent out to do miracles, heal the sick, and to cast demons out. I believe he's seen it. I believe he testified. Guess what happened? The demons are subject to us. Oh, Judas must be a very spiritual man. No, he's not. He's a rebel. Look at the contrast of these two men. Look at this man, Judas, for a moment. He left his home. He sacrificed his job. He left his family to follow Jesus. He forsook maybe much financial gain in his job. And he followed Jesus. Is this not a good man? He was chosen to be apostle. Jesus put a stamp of approval on him. Everywhere you see Jesus for at least 2 years, you see Judas. They slept together, traveled together, ministered together. Surely he must be a man of God. I'm sure he preached on the streets. I'm sure he was used to see someone led to the Lord. Surely that's God's stamp of approval. No. If someone leads thousands to the Lord, they must be a man of God. Not always.
That's right.
Not always. You be very careful how you discern the blessing of God. I've had people tell me this week, oh, I'm blessed. Look what I'm doing. I'm preaching. Look, this proves the blessing of God. No, it doesn't.
Right.
Do you know God blessed Ishmael? Mm. Ishmael was out of the will of God. Mm. He was of the flesh. The Bible says God blessed him.
That's right.
Oh, God wouldn't do that, would he not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would he not? Do you know God used Judas for a time? He was chosen but not qualified. At the beginning, I'm sure he seemed to be, or he had a humble heart, but not as he went on. As he went on through ministry, it was revealed he was a lover of ministry. That disqualifies you from ministry. If you love money and possessions, don't go into the ministry.
Yeah.
And yet the church in America is filled with men, money preachers, prosperity preachers. They love money. They preach on money all the time. And I assure you, they're disqualified from ministry. They shouldn't be in ministry. They're always begging, saying, God told me there's going to be 100 of you put $1,000 in the basket this morning. You're a liar. The Holy Ghost said none of the cert. The Holy Ghost said that's between you and him. It ought to be preached that we tithe or give to God. But I'm telling you, there's no manipulation in this. Look at Judas. He was a lover of money. In John chapter 12, we read a story of how Jesus and the disciples went into the home of Lazarus and Mary. Remember Lazarus who got raised and his two sisters were there. Jesus loved that home. He loved to go there and eat and sit at their table and fellowship. And this particular day in that home, Jesus, Judas is there, all the disciples. And we read that Mary came in with a precious bottle of oil. And she broke it and began to anoint him. And you know what Judas done? Judas went, huh, what a waste. What a waste of good money. Says, look at this woman. Going and wasting God's money like this. What a terrible woman, she is. Couldn't we have saved it and given it to the poor? And do you know what? This is what the Bible says in Matthew. It says the other 11, they got annoyed as well when they heard Judas's words. And said, yeah. That what a waste. We should be given this money. We should have sold the oil and given it to the poor. But here is this woman in the house. You know what Jesus said? Leave her alone.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, you care about her doing that more than the poor. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm giving you scripture. I could give you 100 scriptures like this.
Yes.
You better be very careful how you judge things.
Amen.
And all 12 disciples are on this side with Judas. They take sides with Judas against Jesus. And Judas is saying, we should have kept the money. We should have given it to the poor. You know why? He keeps the money bag.
Yeah.
And the Bible says he used to help himself out of the money bag. He was a thief. He loved the money. He's talking about the poor, but he loves money.
Yeah.
It's for his own benefit. He doesn't care about the poor. I'm sure he threw money in a bucket. I'm sure he went and done things on the streets. You know, he's always leading the social program amongst the disciples. We ought to be helping the poor and feed them and all. Do you know what the Bible says? This is how you know the kingdom of God comes. The gospel is preached to the poor.
Yeah.
Not that you feed them, not that you clothe them. It doesn't say that. We do those things. But I'm telling you, you know the kingdom of God when we preach the gospel to the poor.
Yeah.
Anybody who says that's not the primary thing is wrong. Jesus said this is the primary thing. Preach to the poor.
Yes.
Don't feed their belly. That isn't the first thing. You
Amen.
Preach the gospel, and if you don't preach to them, you've done nothing.
Amen.
Judas loved to feed the poor or to help those who had very little. And you know what? All the time he was helping himself. He said, look at this great waste. You remember in the end, he actually made a plan. He said, I'll betray Jesus for 30 bits of silver. Do you know when he decided that? After Mary poured that oil. That happened just before them going up to Jerusalem. Just before Jesus is betrayed by Judas. What happened? Jesus is saying, leave her alone. You know what? He got offended. Do you realize Judas got offended with Jesus over that money issue? Judas is pleading the cause of the poor, and Jesus is saying, leave her alone. We're in the house of God, the house of saints, and they are ministering unto me. This lady is worshipping me. Don't you take that and give it to the poor. There's something rotten in behind that, and I'm telling you, saints, I do believe in ministering to the poor. I've done it all my life.
Right.
But you be very careful how you judge things in the house of God, and don't listen to some blowing who starts telling you about we're not thinking of the poor. When's the last time you tithed?
Yes, yes.
When's the last time you're faithful to the house of God? Do you minister unto Christ? Then don't lecture me about the poor.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you can have a spirit of Judas in the house of God. They're a conniver. They're a deceiver. I help the poor. I feel so spiritual.
Right.
You could die and go to hell.
Yes. Yeah.
You can minister the poor and you don't have any love in your heart. 1 Corinthians 13 says it. You can give all your money to the poor. You don't even love.
That's right.
You don't agape the saints,
that's right.
The church of God.
Yeah.
You need to be very careful. Look at this contrast with Judas. He sold Jesus for 30 bits of silver. He fell away. He sold him with a kiss. He fell away. He left his place, his ministry empty. Somebody else was going to have to fill it. Saints, I want to tell you, if you reject God and backslide, this church is moving on.
Right.
You could be a preacher and say, they can't manage without me. Oh, I evangelize on the streets. Oh, I'm great on some musical instrument. You can backslide and go to hell and this church is going on. We'll hum to ourselves. That's what we'll do. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you can feel self-pity and all the rest and go in circles and say, they can't manage without me. The church of God will march on without you. There's people who used to be in here. They love God. God could have used them. God was using them. And they play with that. I tell you now, they're leading people to hell. They're taking people drinking. They're leading people into sin. They're going to tell others, you don't need to belong to a church. What a dangerous thing. This is the spirit of Judas in the church of our day. It says in verse 16, he was guide to them that took Jesus. Look at Judas. He was an apostle, chosen to be an apostle. And he leads men to betray Jesus. He leads men. He is a guide, an example. He's a betrayer. And since he committed suicide and he died and he went to hell for the reward of money, that money cursed him. Be very careful what gets into your heart. It can curse you and send you to hell. In Acts chapter 1 verse 20, it says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. You know what his habitation was? That field where he hung himself. Do you know why he betrayed Jesus? You won't have heard this most years before. Do you know why he betrayed Jesus? Not because he hated him. It's because he's got his eye on this little field. He's thinking of his retirement. And you know what? There was a little cottage there and he's dreaming and he's desiring. He says, if I can get 30 bits of silver, I can actually own that field. I'm thinking of my retirement. I mean, I'm in ministry. And if I can get that little field, everything's taken care of for my latter days. I'll be just fine. He had his eye on that field, 30 bits of silver. And he betrays Jesus for that. Acts chapter 1 verse 20, it says, let his habitation, his little cottage, the field, lie empty. Do you know that was the field where he hung himself? He died. That thing that becomes so meaningful to him, it destroyed his life. And I assure you, if you don't become a man or woman submitted to the authority of Christ, qualify yourself. Let Jesus train you. Become a real Christian. If you don't let him deal with pride in your heart, or a desire for ministry, or a pursuit of some foolish thing, he doesn't deal with that. It can curse you at the end of the day. What a dangerous thing. And it says, let another man take his bishopric. Let me finish here. The choice. The final thing, the choice. There was a choice made. Verse 24 says, they prayed and said, thou, Lord, knowest the hearts of all men. Show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Do you realize these two men, Matthias and Joseph Justice, both were qualified. Both are faithful in the house of God. Both are witnesses of the resurrection. Both are qualified in an extreme way. And here you have the disciples, and they say, we can see it in their life. But they said, we don't trust ourselves to choose. We put them forward, these two men. Lord, you choose. We want you to choose. And they actually drew lots. We don't do it anymore. From Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes and we never draw lots again. What were drawn lots? They put two names in the hat and whichever name gets pulled out. It says they prayed first. They had faith in God. Do you realize Joseph said, I'll trust that God is in this.
Right.
He didn't get angry at them for picking out the wrong bit of paper. He didn't say, I want to recount like they were over Hillary's failure to get in. So said, it's because I'm a woman. No, you're a liar.
Yeah, yeah.
You got caught out. You're bad stuff and you're trying to say, it's a woman. They didn't, do you know, I didn't get in because it was a woman. Then she changed and then said, actually, the count was wrong. Okay, which is it? And we've had about 20 other reasons since then. Now, what is the truth? Hillary, why did you not get in? Could it have something to do with people are tired of your games? About what you've done all through these years, that you got exposed, all your emails? Could it have anything to do with that? I can assure all the recounts. Here's a man, he didn't call for a recount. You know what? He says, I trust God. There's 120, we're disciples, we're under the authority of Christ. And you know what? I have faith. If we pray, I trust God. And you know what? I may not get chosen, but I want to be qualified.
Amen.
I do want to be qualified. 120 people in the upper room. And they were careful not just to go by qualification. Qualification isn't enough. We want God to choose.
Yeah,
it couldn't be their own choice. Look at Peter. He says, I'm not big enough to make the choice. I'm not big enough to choose a 12th apostle. I actually submit myself to God's authority. And that's what submission to God is. You submit to his authority in ministry. There's people who would kill you to get into ministry. They'll lie on you. They'll abuse you. They'll manipulate you to get a ministry. You're a Judas. I tell you, God had to drag me into ministry screaming. He had to come to me with dreams in the night. I wrestled with him saying, oh God, I don't want to preach. And he says, if you say it one more time, I won't come to you again. Scared the wits out of me. I never argued with him again. I said, I'm going to preach.
Right.
I'm not here easily. I'm here under authority.
Yes.
I'm only standing this pulpit. I see people manipulating for ministry. You're a deceiver.
Yes.
There's something wrong with your heart if you do that. You're not submitted to the authority of Christ. It's being qualified and content. If he wants to use me, he can use me.
Right.
If he doesn't want to use me, that's fine
right.
with me. Look at this man as we close. He did not feel rejected.
Right.
He did not start to say the disciples don't love me. He did not say God doesn't care for me or I am worthless. All this hard work and I don't get chosen for an apostle. He never said that. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get depressed. He didn't get suicidal. Judas got suicidal.
Yeah.
But a real Christian under authority, you can be missed. You can be ignored. You can be bypassed. You won't throw in the towel. Yeah. You'll say, I will be a Christian. I don't care if God ever uses me in prophecy. No. I'm going to walk with God. There's one thing from church history we read about Joseph Justice, that he drank poison and he didn't die. It was one of the daughters of Philip told another writer this story. One of the daughters of Philip, one of those daughters who prophesied. And she said, you know, Joseph Justice, he drank poison. He never died. Maybe it happened, I don't know. It's not in the Bible. But you know what? One thing I know is he could have got bitter. He could have got poisoned with this choice. He got missed.
Yeah.
What's it like to get bypassed, to be missed, to be qualified but not chosen? See, to be a person who can be qualified, I mean totally qualified, and yet you're happy not to be chosen, that's a man under authority.
Amen.
Someone who always wants to be noticed, always used, always. What if God ignores you? What if man ignores you? What if I ignore you? Do you get offended? Then your character's nothing.
Yeah.
You're not qualified if you can get that easily hurt. Yeah. If I can hurt you whenever I'm not even intending to do it,
yeah,
didn't notice something you done or said, didn't take note of your great abilities. Saints, we should be more than that. I'm talking about a man or woman under authority. And saints, in this church, when we're under authority, you can go, God can leave me in the shelf or he can use me. God can give me a gift or he can just bypass me. And if you can't say that, you're not ready for ministry.
Amen.
If you in your heart cannot say, if God never uses me in ministry, that's just fine with me.
Amen.
I assure you, you still need to be dealt with before you ever stand on a pulpit or God ever uses you to heal the sick or to cast demons out or anything else. I'm dealing with authority and submission in these messages. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord.